2 days and 249 years ago, we celebrated our signing of the Declaration of Independence. How many of us had a great 4th of July? Amen. I know it's a little different than New Year's, but I got to sit on the beach in Kailua, and they have a barge way out in the ocean, and that's where they were firing off all the fireworks. But the Declaration of Independence was the 13 colonies in 1776. They decided, you know what? It's time that we make a break away from this British rule. And they decided to make this declaration, and these 13 colonies form what now is the United States of America. But one thing that the declaration is founded on, and what our country is founded, that's why I had to put the flags. We have to have the Christian flag, because without this, we wouldn't have this. And what we forget, that a lot of times when you read the things in the declaration, this thinks about God. But as we're coming to a new era, you notice that a lot of things, we begin to take God out of a lot of things, which is so sad. But what it was the Declaration of Independence was highlighting one thing, and this one thing is what we stand for, is freedom. That's one thing America stands for, is freedom. And I can tell you, when I talk about freedom with Pastor Chris, with Pakistan, there's a different kind of freedom here than Pakistan had, because they don't experience the same freedom that we have. They have to, we can congregate here in church. We can go baptize in the ocean. In other countries, you can't do that. In other countries, you can go to jail for that. You can get killed. I remember someone testified one time where this pastor was going to baptize these people in the ocean. They said, if you do that, we're going to kill you. He did it anyway, and they killed him. But see, that's the kind of faith these people have, the unwavering faith. So I want to just read the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence. And I'm going to highlight a couple words, and I'll give you the meaning. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident means obvious. So we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, which means gifted by God, with certain unalienable rights. You know what unalienable rights means? It means impossible to take away or give up. This is what these men who were signing this declaration, these rights were unwilling to give up. That among these is life, liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen? And that's what we stand on. So today I'm going to touch on that one thing, which is freedom. Because they saw freedom as a gift from God that was impossible to take away or give up. And that's the kind of freedom that these 13 colonies were signing on, this declaration. So today, since that time, we've been defending our freedom. There's been the American Revolution. There's been the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War. Freedom isn't free. Just remember, our freedom isn't free. It was bought with a price, that many men and women who gave their lives for our country so that we could be called the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen. So we thank them, those men and women, for their sacrifice. Amen. So as I was thinking of those words, I said, where does that word come from? I've heard it many times, the land of the free, the home of the brave. It's from our national anthem, which was written by Francis Scott Key during the War of 1812. So let me just give you a little brief history. He was on a British boat watching them bombard Fort McHenry. All night they were bombarding this fort. And when it was all over and the dust settled, the flag was still flying. And that's what inspired Francis Scott Key to write this poem, which is now our national anthem. And as I was sitting on that beach in Kailua, 4th of July, watching the aerials, the fireworks go up, I was just thinking of exactly what Francis Scott Key was watching as the cannons were firing. It says, bombs bursting in air gave proof to the night that the flag was still there. So as I was seeing all this thing, I was just thinking how after the dust, after all the smoke settled, our flag was still flying. Amen. So I got to think of this video. So I said, you know what? I want to try to look up this Star Spangled Banner, this poem was all about. So when I pulled it up, I found out that we only sing the first stanza or the first, there's like four parts of this poem, but we only sing the very first part of the Star Spangled Banner. And we all know that we see it at baseball games, football games, Super Bowls, it's sung all over. But we're so used to singing and hearing just the first verse. But when I saw the fourth verse, I said, wow, we never ever sang this verse before. And I think most of us here probably never heard it. So here I'm going on Google trying to find out if there's anyone singing this song. And I found this retired Marine officer singing this song. So if we can all stand, I that's why I have the flags here. We can all stand. And Sky, you can play that video, the Star Spangled Banner.
And I'm a former Marine, and I became aware that there are two verses, and we need to hear the second verse, which says, oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Amen. Through all of Satan's bombardment on you and I, is your blood-stained banner still flying high? It's because of the one who paid the ultimate price, God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let freedom ring. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm not no Francis Scott Key, but the Lord gave me that poem to write, so... But anyway, but you know, nowadays there are so many Christians that are declaring their independence from God by relying on their own wisdom, their own understanding, and trusting more in man than in God. Let me give you my Bible text for today. This is Galatians 5:1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has truly set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened." That means weighted down. And I like how it says, again, be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Today, let's make a declaration of dependence, not independence. Make a declaration of dependence on God when it comes to our freedom, on allowing us to stand when we are facing adversity. Just as the 13 colonies declared their freedom over British rule, we too need to declare our freedom from four of these things that try to rule us. There's four things that I'm going to, there's many more, but I want to touch on four important things. The reason why I feel it's important, because these are things that was important to me that I struggled with. The first thing that we need to clear our freedom from is from Satan. From the very beginning, Satan lied and deceived mankind. From the very beginning, taking mankind out of a perfect world, taking man out of their Eden by twisting and disguising God's truth with his evils, with his deception, burdening us again and again with that yoke of slavery that the scripture was talking about. And you know, what is a yoke of slavery? I have a yoke at home. I forgot to tell my wife to just bring it, but a yoke, what a yoke is, it's kind of like what that shows over there. You can put it back to the yoke. What the yoke is, it harnesses two animals so that they can work together. And that's what it does. But there's times where the farmer, and what the yoke does, it pulls the plow in order to make it easy for the farmer to plow the land. But there are times where the farmer uses a more experienced oxen next to a less experienced one to teach the other oxen the proper way of pulling the load. So as the two are pulling together, the weaker one is getting stronger because it's following the more experienced oxen. And that's how the farmer ends up getting two good animals to pull his load, to make the load easy and make it light. And that's the scripture that I want to share with you, because when you think about it, do you know sometimes why your burdens and your struggles get so heavy? We all go through this. There's many things, but I want to point out one thing because I'm talking about this yoke. It's because we are unequally yoked. It's just like the oxen. You have two oxen, but if one is struggling, not as strong as the other one, it's not going to pull the plow efficiently how the farmer wants it. That's why, listen to what the scripture is. And you know, God's word has so much really relevant instructions that we can take to heart. And listen to it. This is exactly what I was explaining. Listen to what it says, how when we are yoked with Christ, that more experienced oxen, we're the weaker one. This is what he tells us. This is in Matthew 11, 29 to 30. He says, take my yoke upon you. And he says, and learn from me. In the beginning, I always used to wonder what the scripture is talking about. But then when I started to study what the yoke is, actually what it is, he's telling us, he wants us yoked together. We're the more inexperienced one. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this is the same principle that the farmer uses when he's plowing his field with his yoke of oxen. At times, he will have the two oxen that are both experienced pulling his load, pulling that plow, making it easy and making it light. Because why? The less inexperienced oxen was able to learn from the more experienced one. Just like how Christ tells us that we need to be yoked with him. We need to be equally yoked, not unequally yoked. Because when we're yoked with Christ, we are equally yoked, and he's helping us to pull our load. And when we're pulling our load, when it's equally yoked, the Lord becomes easy and light. Doesn't that make sense? When Christ is on one side and you're on the other, it makes that load just that much more easier to carry because he says it. And his word is true. That's one thing about God's word. God's word is always true. And when he says it's going to be easy and light, believe me, it's going to be easy and light. But you have to follow the instructions. I just was told by someone yesterday, he goes, you know, you men have such a hard time following instructions. I go, I guess so, yeah. Okay, you want to put it that way. I'm not going to get into it, but we got to follow the instructions is what it is. So when we yoke with Christ, our burdens become easier. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When you are yoked with Christ, we begin to learn from him. As we begin to veer off our course, he's able to help us get back in line with him. That's how important being yoked with him, making the load easier and light. Because why? We're moving together as one. That's what makes the difference. We're moving together with Christ with us. We're moving together with one. You ever heard the saying, we don't have to listen to Satan's lies and accusations that he always tries to bring upon us? You know that this, every time Satan tries to always bring upon all these lies to us, and you know what the easiest way to stop falling for Satan's lies and deception? The easiest thing to do is to believe in God's truth. That's the easiest way to combat Satan's lies is believe in God's truth. Because if you know the truth will set you free. Amen? You know, let me just stop right here. Some might say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't have confidence to stand when adversity and chaos is all around me. Everything is just so chaotic. When all my problems I have, seems like God's not even hearing me or answering my prayers. Have you ever felt that way? Let me tell you a secret that Satan does not want you to know. This is very important. This is what gives me confidence when I go through things. It's remembering your past victories. Satan wants you to forget your past victories, whether big or small, it doesn't matter, because Satan knows that the God that brought you out of those victories, out of his grasp for the past, is the same God that will bring you out of his grasp today. Amen. Just remember those past victories to give you strength. Because each and every one of us here has a victory that God brought us out. No matter how small it is, God has a victory he brought you out. Just remember those victories. Because Satan's tool to do to us is to make us forget. Make us forget. We need to remember, because when we remember those things, we come with all authority to tell Satan who he is and where he's got to go. And he has no power to torment us. Amen? So today, is Satan portraying a giant in your battles, in your circumstances? Listen to what David says to his giant. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 46 and 47. He says, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you. How assurance of words that David has against his giant. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Maybe, hopefully you guys got to watch on Prime. If you have Prime, House of David, powerful, I'm not promoting it, but it's a powerful series to watch. But look, this is, I will kill you and cut off your head. I can just see Goliath, this towering warrior, and David, a little shepherd boy, coming to him. He must have been thinking, yeah right. You're going to cut my head off. And he says, I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. What a declaration, amen? And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Each and every one of us here are giant killers. Remember that. You're a giant killer. I don't care how big that giant is and how small the enemy might make you feel, but know this, that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Because if we're fighting against flesh and blood, the enemy will seem like a giant. But you got to remember that we come in with all authority in the power of Jesus Christ and his Father. What power can come with us? God the Father, Jesus his Son. And we are all giant killers here. Just remember that. I don't care whatever the situation is. We are giant killers. Just remember next time the enemy feels like he's this monstrous thing that's just tormenting you. Just know that we have all authority to say to that mountain, say to that giant, be cast into the sea. Amen? That's all the power we have. We just got to use that power that God has given us. Amen? Stop cowering to the enemy, because you got to remember the enemy's already defeated. That's the part that makes... Sometimes it happens to me too. I'm not saying I'm excluded. How can we forget sometimes that the enemy is already defeated? Why do we allow him to torment us? Let us stand knowing that God is fighting our battle. He's interceding on our behalf. He's our kingsman redeemer. He's the good shepherd that is watching over us. Amen. He is always working on our behalf and lighting that path that we are to follow. Amen. He'll never steer you wrong. Just remember that. No longer are we slaves to the things that Satan had us bound to. His chains are broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're declaring freedom from Satan today. Amen. You know how we can do that this morning? That's the reason why I have these two flags here. We're going to make declarations today. And what declaration is, it means it's like a public announcement. We're announcing our declaration, our freedom from Satan. So we're going to make this verbal spiritual declaration by verbally renouncing, in other words, rejecting Satan, his works, his influences, and affirming our commitment to Christ. Amen? So, just repeat after me. Satan, I reject you, your works, and your influences from my life. I have all authority and power established by God to do so. I'm affirming my commitment to Christ to prayer, reading God's word, walking in obedience, and seeking opportunities to serve others. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? Amen. Next, the next thing we need to declare freedom from is sin. Because sin entered this world when Adam and Eve ate from the tree that God said they to not eat from. Since then, we have been at war with Satan. Sin has separated us from God. And sin is anything, actions, thoughts, feelings, that goes against God's word. And you know, sometimes we get so accustomed to the things in life that we forget that we are actually sinning against God. Lying, disobedience, rebellion, dishonoring parents, gossiping, this is a big one, gossiping, pride, just to name a few. We can't keep on saying the devil made me do it. You know, Pastor John had that last week that he showed the Flip Wilson video. We can't say it. The devil made me do it. We have to take ownership of our actions. Amen. That is why over 2,000 years ago, God knew that the only way to set mankind free from the burden of sins was for he himself to come down from his glorious home in heaven and take on the form of man. And that man was Jesus Christ. I was saying earlier in my prayer, who was fully God and fully man, to take upon himself the sins of the world and pay that enormous debt for humanity's sins by dying on the cross as a sinless man. And on the third day, he was resurrected from the grave and now sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Jesus bridged that great chasm that separated us from God due to our sin. Amen. Listen to what I like this scripture in James 4:17. It becomes perfectly clear that we have full freedom to choose to do right and not sin. And this is what it says. It says, "So then, if you do not do the good we know we should do, we are guilty of sin." Plain and simple. And I remember I used to tell the young fellow police officers coming into the department, I used to say, just do what is right. If you just do what is right, you won't ever get in trouble. It's the same thing with God. If you just do what is right according to what he says and be obedient, we never have to worry. It's so simple. We got to stop giving the devil credit. You know, we give the devil too much credit for what he doesn't deserve. He doesn't deserve none of the credit. Anytime we do wrong, we got to remember that we have to own up to our own actions. My computer just went blank. He wants me to stop right. See, Satan, you're a liar. Bring this back. Okay, here it came right back. Because when we own up to our actions, when our actions become obedient to God, that's when we will know no defeat. Amen? That's like our motto says, action with living faith to God knows no defeat. It's obedient action. Obedient actions. When our obedient actions to God, that's when we will know no defeat. Amen? And another thing, this is a big thing. Another thing that we are declaring freedom from is this: our mind. And in fact, it kind of lines up with what I just read in James 4:17. The mind is what is telling us to do or not do. Just remember some of the you've seen pictures before with the devil on one side of the shoulder and the angel on the other side. And what he's doing is both sides is telling to do this, don't do this, you got to do this, no one's, you can do this. No one's watching. The devil says, no one's watching. No one's going to get hurt. So there's a major tug of war going between our mind. But in the middle of this tug of war is our minds. And when I was studying about getting into this part, I came across this one thing. And this is so powerful. That's why the Bible says that we need to renew our minds. Listen to what this says. We need to renew our minds with the things of Christ. And it said here, when you feed your mind, it becomes a mindset. The things you feed your mind becomes a mindset. And a mindset is hard to change without changing what your mind is filled with. Amen. It kind of makes sense now. What goes in? We all see they say, what goes in comes out. I think that's where they get that from, because it's saying that a mindset is hard to change because we have so much things already that we're so used to. That's why it's that saying, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And I was talking about in our Bible study that sometimes we have so much things in our life that we know we need to get rid of, but for whatever reason, we don't get rid of it. We just let this junk clutter up. And that's what clutters our mind. That's why this one lady wrote this book called The Battlefield of the Mind. It's a battlefield, Joyce Myers. Battlefield of the Mind, because it's a battle in our minds. And it's so true what it says here, the mindset. Our mindset is something so hard to change. So we got to remember, it's this mindset that controls you. The mindset controls our actions, and the mind is what you control, what we put into our minds. That's why Romans 12:2 tells us, and we know this scripture, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we have to renew our minds. It's so important, because without that, all that rubbish that we continue to keep in, that mindset that we have, is not going to be good, acceptable, and perfect. We got to begin to take out the rubbish and put in the good stuff. Begin to put the things of God. Begin to put these things that we can now allow our actions to be done for what we put in our minds. So when the mind is being fed with the things of God, our lives begin to transform. Remember, where your mind goes, your life follows. Amen. That's a good saying too. Where your mind goes, your life follows. So today we are declaring freedom with a renewed mind. Amen. And then finally, this last one, we need to declare freedom from our greatest enemy is self. Self binds us a lot when it comes to ourself. Let me give you some of these self issues that causes us to be our greatest enemy. Self-criticism. I caught myself doing that just recently. Can be so more destructive than helpful. When you think about it, we are our worst critics. Amen. I remember every time I used to go on the golf with Pastor John, and I would criticize some of the shots they go. He goes, why are you saying such negative stuff? That was a good shot. But in my mind, I want it to be perfect. So I'm criticizing the way on my actions. That's a powerful thing that the enemy works on, is self-criticism. Because he wants to make you feel not worthy. He wants to feel that you're not worthy enough. And that's why researchers have found that when you criticize yourselves, it can lead to anxiety, depression, even self-harm. Another thing is having a low self-esteem. This was big in my part. This is a big enemy, because we tell ourselves we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. I'm not enough. I haven't gone to college, so I can't do this. I haven't done this, so I can't do this. I'm not pretty. I'm not handsome. I'm a loser. Everything I do, I mess things up. Also, another part of low self-esteem is if you're experiencing abuses, abandonment, neglect, bullying. That's a big one. I want to share, if you want to hear a testimony, you can see me after, how bullying allowed me to have low self-esteem. I don't have time to tell you about it, but self-issue sometimes, another self-issue that we sometimes take lightly, and it's good that Leah's sitting right in the middle, right here, is our health. Sometimes we take our health lightly. Sometimes we don't think about it at all. I remember we have our fit church every second and fourth Saturday downstairs with Leah. I'm not going to name names, but a gentleman was saying, wow, this is the first time I ever exercised. Oh, my goodness. So, but that's one thing that the devil wants us not to be, is healthy. What better thing to hinder God's people is make them not healthy? Because when you're not healthy, you can't do God's work. So that's why the Bible talks about this being a temple. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Do you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God, for you are not your own?" This is a temple. We got to take care of God's temple. Exercise is fine, but not only physical, but we also got to take care of God's temple with the spiritual. But you need a good balance. You got to take care of the physical, and you got to watch what you eat, diet, what you put in is a big thing. So that's one thing we got to declare freedom from keeping a healthy temple. We got to declare freedom that our temple is healthy. I would like to share what God says when you think lesser and doubt your capabilities. I want to share two scriptures. And I want you always to think of these scriptures, because the devil doesn't want you to know that this is what God says about us. This is in Psalms 139, 13, and 14. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. For your works are wonderful, and I know full well." That's one thing for each and every one of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care how you think or what you may think people talk about you. God created each and every one. One thing God doesn't do, he doesn't make a mistake. So never ever call you or anybody a mistake, because God never makes a mistake. Amen? And our last scripture here is Jeremiah 1:5. Similar to what I just read, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation." What powerful affirmations to let us know that we are fearfully, wonderfully made. God created each and every one of us specifically to do specific things for him. Each and every one has specific things that God, that you can do that I can't do. That's why we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. So we got to continue to declare freedom from Satan. We got to continue to declare freedom from sin. We have to continue to declare our freedom from our mind and from ourself. Amen. And the freedom I've been talking about today can only be obtained through Jesus Christ. The world can't give you this freedom. That freedom that the world gives you, you'll never be happy. That's not the same freedom that it was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. I can guarantee you that. Because that kind of freedom does not give us pursuit of happiness. Think about it. There's so much people in the world that are famous, have so much money, but they have the freedom of the world, the happiness of the world. And what they most, a lot of them do, they end up killing themselves. That's not the kind of freedom that God wants us to have. Amen? His freedom is freedom from those four things and more. Amen? So now and until we pass from this earth, we need to stand firm in the freedom that Christ has given each and every one of us. But it's going to cost. It's going to cost you something. It could be friends. It could be a job. It could be money. But remember, the freedom I'm talking about has eternal value. Amen. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We need to stop declaring our independence from God and start declaring our dependence on God. Because without God, truly, we are not free. Amen? Because the Bible says, "Therefore, who the Son sets free is free indeed." Amen? So if you don't get anything, one thing that you get from this message, the big idea, is we need to declare our freedom with Christ against the anything that Satan tries to bind us with. Remember, that's the big idea, declaring our freedom with Christ. Not in Christ, it's with Christ, because it's like that yoke, he's yoking with us. In Christ is like Christ is in us, but we need to declare our freedom with Christ, like he's our partner. With Christ against anything that Satan tries to bind us with. That's what makes it so much easier, because a lot of times we are in Christ rather than with Christ. That little with it in can make a big difference. But today we're with Christ. He is with us through these things that we go through. Amen? So as I come to the end of this message, I want us all to declare what we believe as Jesus Christ followers. Can we all stand? And that's the reason why I have the American flag and the Christian flag. You know, before when we had church, before any service, our pastor, the founder of the church, made us recite the pledge. So one person is holding the flag. There was a riser up here. It was raised up here. I would hold the American flag, we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. The other pastor would hold the Christian flag, and we would say the Apostles' Creed. So today, I want us to recite the Apostles' Creed. It's not going to, it's going to be on the screen, so you can follow when it's on the screen. And if there's anything that you may not believe in after reading this, or something you don't understand when it comes to this creed, come and see me. And I can explain things to you. But I believe this Apostles' Creed is something that we need to know what we stand for today. We need to declare what we believe in. Amen? So it's on the screen. So as you are ready, we can start reading. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for today that we are declaring our freedom. Each and every one of us are declaring our freedom from the things that Satan has us bound, from the things that sin has us shackled, Lord, and from our minds, the things that we feed our minds with, Lord, and also for the things that we feel on our own selves, Lord. But Lord, we're declaring that this freedom can only be with you in our lives, Lord. As we yoke together with you, Lord, that you continue to allow us to pull our burdens. You help us as we pull our burdens to make them easy and light, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we continue to not forget that we are more than conquerors to Jesus Christ our Lord, that Satan can no longer torment us, Lord, that we have all authority, power from heaven to cast Satan into the pits of fire. Amen. We just thank you, Lord, today for each and every one that as we walk out this door today, Lord, knowing that we have been set free from the powers of Satan, from his powers of sin in our lives today. And we just thank you for shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary. And now you sit at the right hand of your Father. We thank you, we give you praise, and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, Amen. Amen.